Fresh Batch is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network. You can find Fresh Batch and other great comedy podcasts at www.foreverdogpodcasts.com. And if you like what you hear, and I really hope you do, subscribe to Fresh Batch at Apple Podcasts. And you know what? While you're there, I'm going to be a little needy. Would you mind writing a review and just giving me 5 stars? It costs you literally nothing. Thank you. Love you. Well, I am just so excited for this episode of Fresh Batch because I have to say, arguably, I mean, there's no question about it. It's our most star-studded, jam-packed episode yet because I'm joined by two people who really mean a lot to me, one of whom I barely know, and that's you, Henry Goldblatt.
Hi, Henry. I'm not the star you're talking about, for sure.
Well, you are a star, and you deal with stars.
I do deal with stars.
You're the editor-in-chief of Entertainment Weekly.
That's what they tell me, and I'm supremely unqualified to do anything else in the world, so I'm very lucky to have this job.
I mean, what a dream job. I read it every week growing up. I had a subscription. I'm a customer.
Oh, I appreciate it. We'll take all the customers we can get.
That's wonderful. And a girl who has been many, many times in Entertainment Weekly herself, and she's the loveliest person I know, and also talented and pregnant, and made time to come here today to join us, and that would be the one and only Julia Stiles.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Yes, thanks for having me. This is so fun. I'm excited, and I was just going to be quiet to kind of let you keep going with the compliments. This is really making me feel good.
I have nothing but time for you, and we also drove here. We shared a car here all the way to Dumbo, people, for about an hour and a half, so I do feel like I already got a lot out of you. But we're going to pretend we didn't talk.
Yeah, no problem.
And start new. Start anew.
I am so happy that you said that Julie is pregnant because I've been trained not to assume anyone's pregnant whatsoever. Like, if a woman is giving birth in front of me, I still would not assume she's pregnant.
When I was 16, I went into a store once, a baby store, I don't know why, with a friend, and 16 years old, and the woman was like, and when is she due? And I Sonic the Hedgehog into an early grave. And that's how I went. Julie, tell everyone, first of all, so you're preggers.
I am.
You look so great.
Thank you.
First of all.
But if you thought that this belly was, like, because I was bloated, I would be really worried. Because I'm 9 months pregnant. So,
but you don't look 9 months.
You look
svelte.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that the baby took all my baby fat. Like, I didn't have cheekbones before I got pregnant.
That's interesting. Well, they do say that once you deliver a baby, that's my dream weight loss technique, is you deliver and you milk the fat out.
Yeah.
It's such a dream.
Yeah. Here's to hoping.
Oh, I cannot wait to milk my fat out. It's like in Mad Max. I need the pumps. I just want it all out of me. I'm like, the only way I'm ever going to lose weight is if I pop out a few kids. or get secret lap band, which is my actual dream. If any plastic surgeons are listening, I won't plug you. Let's start with what we've all been up to lately, because Julie, we haven't seen each other in really a long time.
A year, more than that.
At least a year.
Yeah.
Tell everyone what you've been working on.
Should we tell everyone how we know each other?
I think that's nice.
Okay.
I'm not a good interviewer.
This is just me having fun. I do need a backseat interview.
I'm like, yeah, let me do my job, okay? Next time you're on a set, I'm like, I show up in a full drama mask. We went to school together.
We went to college together.
Tell everyone.
So we've known each other for a long time and off and on. I mean,
Since early 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What am I working on now? Well, I did a show, a British TV show called Riviera that takes place in the south of France. No big deal.
And you were there every time I got an update about Julia. It was that she was living it up. That's why she got pregnant. In the south of France, I was like, this bitch has the most charmed life. Like, all the pictures look so gorge.
Yeah,
really.
It was pretty nice. But it's coming out now, finally, in the U.S. Through the Sundance Now channel, which you can find. It's not as complicated as it sounds. You can get it on Apple TV or Amazon, anywhere.
And when is it launching?
It launched last...
Oh, it's up.
What's today? What is today? I think it launched last Friday. Yeah.
So people can watch it as they're listening here.
Yes,
you can. I'm watching it this weekend.
Search Riviera.
Oh, yeah, I will watch it.
Awesome.
I have to tell you, I was in London this summer, and we hadn't spoken for a bit, and I'm in my cab coming from the airport tired, and your face was plastered over black cabs. You saw that, I'm sure.
People sent me pictures,
crazy. What a dream to be on the black cabs in London.
And the double-decker buses. That was my fave.
Always
one
up
to
me. You notice? And, like, you're on a black cab, you're like, yeah, and I'm my 4 stories. I'm like, we get it. No, but that's amazing.
Yeah.
What a dream. Henry, When was the last time you were plastered on a bus?
Never, and I'm very, very envious. I was in L.A. last week for Emmy Award type of stuff, which was fun. And I have to give out a shout out to somebody. I took my mom to – we do a pre-Emmy party like the Friday before, and it's always – our events team does a great job. It's always a lot of fun. My mom had no idea what I do. She, like, thinks I work somewhere and do something. She has no idea. So yeah. I took my mom. She's 75 to this party. She'd never been to a Hollywood party before. She was so excited. The only celebrity she wanted to meet was Robert Hirschbeck.
Shark that Tank's
wrong.
Robert
Shark
Hirschbeck.
Tank.
Oh,
like,
oh my God. I dropped all my papers. You said it and I dropped everything. Go on.
So he was there and I went up to him and I'm like, I'm sorry, this is a lot to ask. My mom is here. Is there any way you'd come over and meet her? And he was like, absolutely. He was there with his Dancing with the Stars wife.
Oh, I have a story, by the way.
And,
which one is the one?
She's one of the regular dancers.
Yeah, she's one of the, yeah,
beautiful. Stunning blonde girl beyond, yeah.
So he went over. Not only did he, like, shake my mom's hand and talk to her.
Did he give her a deal?
Did
he buy 20% of her company?
He took a picture. He took a picture with her, which was so nice.
That is nice.
And she was beyond excited. And so I have to give a shout out to him. I also met Barbara Corcoran. Not to Shark Tank.
Did she grab you?
No,
she's
but
real
she...
handsy. Do you watch Shark Tank, Julia?
Well, no.
She's very handsy.
She's busy. She's in the south of France. It is the best... Shark Tank, as you know, is my obsession.
Oh, it's awesome.
And I have to tell you something. When I was on The View, which I always say LOL because it's like so funny that I got the chance to be on that wonderful show, they knew that I loved Shark Tank, and they actually had a Shark Tank-themed episode. We had to like pre-tape it, and I sort of ran the show that day, which was obviously a dream. And then I made one of the worst mistakes of my life to Robert. Like, have I told this story here? I have. I don't know. I have to tell you that I'll tell it quick because it's a real... It's one of my most embarrassing things, and I do feel my face getting hot. But basically, we were interviewing him. It was Whoopi, myself, Joya, who the hell else knows who was there that day. And Robert was sitting with us, and he had, just to give Julie the backstory, he had gotten divorced and then remarried to his Dancing with the Stars partner. Okay, no judgments. It happens. Welcome to Hollywood. So we're chatting, and he said at one point how he lost in Dancing with the Stars, and he went, I didn't win on Dancing with the Stars, but he said, but I met my beautiful wife. And I said, well, yeah, you didn't get the trophy, but you got a trophy wife. Oops. Now, I said it in a, okay, now, Julie, you've met my mother. My mother is an extremely glamorous Israeli, like, big hair. Go to my Instagram. She's very chic and fabulous. She raised me thinking that being a trophy wife was a great, like, I should be so lucky to be a trophy wife. This, to me, was the biggest compliment. It just means your wife is gorgeous and she's a beautiful girl. So, he turned white as a ghost. And this is a man who, I mean, by far my favorite shark, even though he has the worst investment taste. I feel like he always goes for the real techie things. And
the real sporty stuff, too.
He's like a real man. It's like when you get on our own, you're like, okay, does the world need bigger wipes? Like, that's what it's like, dude wipes, whatever. Anyways, you would love the show. It's my favorite show. Anyways, but so he turned white as a ghost. And then Whoopi had to be like, because she always had my back, God bless her. And she was like, oh, my God, she did not mean. I mean, they like shut down production. They didn't end up editing it out of the final version of the show. But to this day, when you say his name, I like, cringe. Once again, I cringe because I'm like, he thought I was being such a dick. Meanwhile, apparently backstage, Barbara was like on the floor dying laughing. God bless. You know, I love Barbara. But apparently she also grabbed, she's on Dancing now this season.
Yes, she is. And so I congratulated her on being on Dancing with the Stars. And she said, well, my partner is so hot. She said this completely unprompted.
Yeah.
Her partner is a guy named Keo, and he is a very handsome man. Mm. And she's like, I eye rape him every single day.
She said that?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I don't like that expression.
No, I don't either.
She's, I would do my deal with her, no question. Love her and love Lori. I will say she has a real creepy energy, Barbara. Barbara is like I don't want to say what I want to say, but she's just very handsy with men. And even when they come on the show, you can see that she's constantly flirting, which is fine. And it's funny and charming. But like what you just said right there, because I read an article that she had grabbed the crotch of her dancing partner. Yeah. Well, so we got our first rape reference out of the way. I was worried. I was like, what time is it? We got to get to this. Let's get to the real stuff. I love Shark Tank gossip, though. I could talk about it.
Oh,
so
forever.
Did he meet his wife dancing with her on Dancing with
yes.
the Stars? Oh, yeah. I could see how that happened.
I mean, first of all, they're making love on the dance floor every
yeah.
night. I mean,
yeah.
really.
And
I don't
spending,
watch
like,
the show.
All their time together. Yeah.
Getting hot together. Yeah. Everybody on that show gets hot.
Everybody.
The property brother lost 45 pounds. I'm like, the guy was skinny to begin. Where'd the weight come from? I don't want to know. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know what that means.
Did he have a baby and that's why he lost the weight?
Girl, he was milking all night. You know that it was Drew. They also came on The View, by the way. And I was like,
Like, I have such simple-minded tastes. I'm like, oh, the Property Brothers. Like, then we'd have, like, big celebrities on and, like, athletes. And I'm like, ugh, whatever. Like, bring me back Drew and whatever the brother's name is. There's, like, 10 twins. All right. Julie, do you watch TV?
I do, but I'm behind on all the reality shows because I don't, where I live, I don't really have cable. Like, you have to pick, you know, it's Netflix or
whatever.
The truth
is, though, I'm going to really call you out. You're very educated, and you are very...
Oh, that sounds so obnoxious.
It isn't.
I'm not above dumb TV, believe me.
Oh, I know.
That's why
we're friends. Yeah,
I spend more time watching, like, trying to pick what I'm going to, it's so infuriating. Like, you know, you do the thing where you, like, can't actually pick a show, and so that, and then an hour's gone by, and you're like, what have I done with my life?
Your favorite show, scrolling.
Exactly.
Yeah, got it.
But and I much prefer comedies, but no, I don't watch a lot of reality TV. Now where I'm staying has, whenever I go to like a hotel or I'm staying in a sublet or something, which is often,
right?
And they have a cable, like live cable, then I kind of binge on reality.
You used to have cable though back in the day in your old place.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember.
Well, everybody did, right?
Yeah, I know, but I still pay for cable.
Yeah.
I haven't cut the cord yet, and that's why I'm poor. Because it's like $300 a month. I apparently have a landline. I don't even have a land phone. I'm like, what? It's $50 a month. I'm like, what am I bleeding money for? But I love cable, and I can't cut the cord.
I can't cut it either.
There is something kind of wonderfully numbing about just like flipping through the channels.
Well, I'm offended by that, but I agree.
No, I don't.
You're like, there is something that just totally shuts you down as a human. I'm like, exactly. That's why I can't get it.
No, it's like your drug. It's a nice, that's why I watch TV at the end of the day, is to like shut my brain off.
No, I know.
It's not a bad thing. It's like a trophy wife.
Oh, see, that's where you go. I'm like, we edit this out. Edit that out, please. I don't want to be negged here. Thank you very much. I will say that I'm watching Big Brother, which is a show I don't recommend you watch, especially pregnant, because it's so dumb. It does make me dumber.
It does make me dumber.
Big Brother is one of the dumb. You watch it.
I watch it, and forget.
We're going to fill you
in. It's like season 59 or something?
Beyond. Yeah. And they have no one. It's kind of like Bachelor. Like, they have no new people, so they just keep bringing people who are close to winning back. And now, basically, that guy is winning this season.
Completely
Beyond.
Winning. I forget. Unlike Bachelor, where I remember everybody, Big Brother, I don't remember any of the house guests. The moment after the finale airs, I forget. So, like, they brought Paul back, and I was Googling, like, who the heck is he? And he was only on last summer.
No, it's disposable humans.
Yeah.
It is, you know the concept of the show, where they put everyone in a house. It's, like,
and you can't leave,
months.
And it's all those weird security cameras.
Cameras everywhere, except I think the toilet is the one place.
That's where everyone goes to cry or hook up.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like the hookup. I do that anyways, camera free. That's my soul cry hookup room. I'm like, you want to like pop into the toilet with me? Like. But I find this season infuriating because Paul is like basically running the roost there. But now Survivor, we were talking about the best CBS show, Survivor, is coming back, I think, next Wednesday. And I'm thrilled about it. And I just can't wait. Are you guys, would you ever do Survivor, Julia Stiles?
Oh, no. God, no, that seems awful to me.
Like, you wouldn't.
No, because, I mean, if you're going to,
even to lose the baby weight, just think about it.
Me with, like, a little, like backpack and my little baby in there.
You have a bindle with a little baby head sticking out.
Yeah,
oh, my God, it'd be so cute.
No, they, it doesn't look fun at all. And then to have cameras following you around, what's the point of being in nature if,
See, that's what I'm saying, though, because you are a very... You center me. Like, you are so... No, but Julie's, like, very natural. Like, you're very just calming. And I miss that presence. Maybe that's why I haven't been calm recently, because we haven't talked in so long.
Thank you so much.
I mean it. And your sister's the same way.
Yeah, true.
And they also take care of a cat that I do feel was personally stolen from me.
Aww.
Meg.
It's been a long time since you've seen Meg.
I love little Meg.
Meg was... They rescued Meg from my home, meaning I got Meg... In college, just after college.
It was way after.
A couple years after.
Yeah.
And then decided I didn't want to be the girl with a cat. So
I'm still fuming about it.
So my parents took it over.
Do you know the story of what happened? I think I did tell you this. There's a story that happened with Julia's cats that I actually said to myself, because it's been so long since we've talked, I was like, it feels healthy to tell you today. I don't know if you know this.
No.
So I cat sat for you.
Oh, that's right.
Do you know the story?
No.
With Steven? I'm like nervous to tell you. I always said I'll never tell Julia, but it's going to happen right now. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's good. Blink, blink. Okay. So I cat sat for you, 10 years ago. I mean, it was a while ago.
Yeah.
And she had two cats, Meg and Nutley. And Nutley was a bit of a wild one.
Very neurotic.
Nutley was a nutcase. I mean, truly was a crazy one. But Meg was my heart and my soul. She was so beautiful. Great cat. Lay in your lap. I mean, beyond amazing. Anyway, so I come over, eat a beautiful place, and my friend Steven, one of my best friends, came over to, help me bring some stuff upstairs, and
I said, you got to see the roof because she had a beautiful roof at the time. She no longer lives here. I won't give the address away, but whatever. You had a beautiful, like, nice roof area. And, you know, New York, you take any outdoor space. It's the middle of winter. So I go upstairs and I crack. This is not a lie. I crack the door open.
I already know where this is going.
You know what's about to happen?
Yeah.
Because even telling it, I feel like I'm breaking out into hives. Yeah. It was the most stressful day of my life. We crack the door, and Meg, the door wasn't an inch open, the bitch runs outside.
She was the sneaky one.
That bitch ran. I mean, I hadn't been in the house for 5 minutes. and it's ice covered in snow. I mean, the whole thing, I was like, I just killed my friend's cat. Like, literally, I was like, that's it. And you were, it was a huge roof, so it could run from building to building. Like, it didn't have to stay, you know, on this particular one. And then there was a school next door. Remember that school? I was like, yeah. This cat's dead. And I did it. And now my friendship is over now. And I murdered a cat.
Oh.
And so for 2 hours in 10-degree weather, we had to go calling her. She was darting. We went into the neighbor's house. We had to, like, climb over the wall.
Oh, my God.
We were, like, peeking in the neighbor's. I mean, it was something out of a nightmare. I feel worse telling you. I thought I'd feel better. I feel worse.
No, I don't care at all.
I thought this would be healthy.
I feel so nervous. I don't nervous like listening.
It. I don't care at all. Am I a horrible person that, okay, so.
No. Well, the cat's living. That's why if the cat had died, we would have known about it. But wait. So anyway, so now eventually after 2 hours, my friend Steven is very small and very lithe, and he eventually crawled behind some trellis. You had some leaning in the neighbors. And snatched her. And if you wouldn't have grabbed her, to this day, I could cry talking about it.
Oh my God.
Do feel healthy that I told you. I was afraid to tell you, and now it's out there.
I will unburden you of that. It is does not
I
make a difference
to me at all.
I feel
sad even telling you again. I feel really stressed again.
I'm surprised she didn't just get, like, sink into the snow. But, no, she's a very adventurous outdoor cat. She loves hunting, and now she lives in the country, so.
And she now goes out and is able to live for freedom.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
I think she has a boyfriend who's a fox, like, or a I don't know.
That bitch is so fucking
she's living
snazzy.
The dream. She's living the dream.
An
now.
Interspecies relationship. That's so nice.
Oh, yeah.
Kids.
I don't know how
the
Benetton
models. Those kids. Put them on a billboard on Sunset. I need to see it. Oh, that's so great that she has somebody.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm still alone. No, can you imagine? I'm like, so the cat lady's cat found someone that's, like, really dark. Like, something about it doesn't sit well with me, but that's nice.
I am kind of a horrible person because I remember getting rid of those cats as soon as my boyfriend at the time broke up with me because I didn't want to be alone with two cats. But it worked out. They're happier out in the wild.
Well, they do have, clearly she really wanted to be outside. Yeah. I mean, and so that is nice that she got to live her truth. Meanwhile, my parents' cat, who weighs 26 pounds, they just went to New Orleans with her and she's finally home because of Hurricane Irma.
Oh.
They brought her back. Oh, my little baby.
My dog's a Hurricane Sandy rescue.
No kidding.
Yes, he's the best little boy in the world. He's Teddy. He's 15 pounds. And I don't know who could have given him. I feel badly for the people who gave him up, but I'm so happy that he's in my life.
What kind of dog is he?
A little terrier mix.
Oh, and how did you find him? Was he taken away from his...
He was in a rescue group somewhere in Jersey. The storm was in November, and I got him in January.
So great. Yeah. See, the hurricane brought people together.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that. I saw dog walkers on West End Avenue this morning walking at least 50. If you guys want to have a great laugh and you're unemployed, 10 a.m., head over to West End Avenue and 73rd. There have to be 40 million golden retrievers on one leash. It was so cute. Edit that out, Joe. That's really not interesting. Let's talk about, seriously, edit that out. So I want to talk a little pop culture with you guys because it's a gift to have both of you here. I saw a movie last weekend. I really want to see it. Either of you seen it?
I have not seen it yet.
I want to. I have not seen it yet.
What are you guys doing after the podcast? You guys want to go see it?
Yeah. How long is it?
I think, actually, it's funny you say that.
Uh-oh.
The lights went out, just so you know. He's here.
Oh, my God.
That's creepy.
That actually was really weird. That happens sometimes because it's motion sensor, and we're all, like, 78.2 degrees. It's fine. Edit that out. Okay. Moving on. It's like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, yeah.
And movies are so fucking long.
Because it was two parts, but the original was two parts, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they can edit the shit into one part. It's like it's like Judd Apatow syndrome, I call it, where movies that should have been 100 minutes end up being 160 minutes.
I completely agree, and that's why I end up watching more TV than movies. And I could sit and watch 7 hours of TV, and it doesn't feel the same as sitting in a theater for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
But why is that? It's because we're in our homes.
In our homes, yeah.
I love that.
Is there an intermission?
Yes, it's like Hamilton.
Exactly.
I did see Mother. Now, who here has seen Mother?
I will. There's no way in hell I'll go see that.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that either.
You won't see it?
No.
No. You should, first of all, you're pregnant. I was going to go see it. I was actually going to go to the opening night screening, and then was tipped off. I was like, this movie looks a little weird, maybe. And then after asking a couple questions, was told, like, are you going to be uncomfortable with weird scenes with babies? And I was like, yes. And so
Oh, my God. I don't want to spoil anything, but...
It got an F cinema score. Like, nothing gets an F cinema score.
Here's what I will say about it. So I was excited to see it. I was very intrigued by the marketing. I liked that it was arty, kind of. I don't know. I miss, like, arty movies.
Mysterious. Yeah.
And I kind of like his movies. I'm not the biggest fan, but it's fine. I like that he wears scarves. I think that's an interesting choice. So I was like, I'll see it. And the baby stuff was wild. I'll be honest. She's lovely. I don't know her, obviously. She seems like a lovely gal. I like that she likes reality TV. I do find, this is like the SNL sketch where you're like, oh my God, he is such a great guy. I don't want to like talk, you know, shit about her, but I do think that she gets cast in roles meant for older people. Like, she does read very young to me, and every time I see her, she's so beautiful that it's like, you like looking at her, but also it's missing, I can't explain it, it's missing almost like some realness for me, if that makes sense, because it doesn't seem like she's lived a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense? I don't know. I mean, I'm not asking you to, either of you, in your positions to say anything negative, but it just, for me, the whole movie is staring at her face. Basically, it's a camera in her face, 90% of it. And then, of course, she is pregnant. I mean, that's not a spoiler. The ending is beyond fucked up. And it's, the question is it worth it? People are talking about it. I mean, I was intrigued for 2 hours. I never felt bored. So I didn't hate it. But definitely the ending
goes
somewhere.
It was misogynist? That's what I've heard. I mean, and I'm going to, yes. I mean, this is dangerous for me because obviously I want to work with Darren Aronofsky.
And you want to work again.
And I've worked with Jennifer Lawrence and she's lovely. Mm-hmm. And I think that she's like way beyond her years. But but did you think it was misogynist? Because I've heard from strangers, don't go see it.
Well, that's what, I mean, the baby thing is separate because just it's a fucked up thing. And it's like a Rosemary's Baby sort of thing where it would upset, I think, like my mother would be pissed if she saw it. It definitely has, it is misogynist, but I have to say to me, and I don't want to like, you know, look, I'm a Barnard grad. I don't want to look like an anti-feminist or anything, but I think that's part of the point of the movie. Like, it's, if it is misogynist, that's the point, is that you can like walk out and be like, wow, what a fucked up world we're living in versus it being his misogyny. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. There's a huge difference. Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually was a little confused because I had a lot of friends who were pissed, like that girls who afterwards, women, let's say, who took to Instagram to be like, this movie's so fucked up because really it is the man kind of controlling things in it. And to me, I'm like, that is the point. It's like artist ego. And even if you disagree with it, it's like, I wasn't offended by that as much as I kind of rolled my eyes about it. But right. I don't know.
Well, like Handmaid's Tale, you could say like the thing that they're portraying is an oppression of women, but it's not, it doesn't have like a misogynist agenda, right?
That's
like,
right.
But it's because it was written by a woman.
And it's also fantastic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm glad that we've all watched it. It's amazing.
Amazing. Because all conversations lead back to The Bachelor. So... Mm. The Bachelor, its inherent premise is sexist and misogynist. Like, so how do you square that?
As you make The Bachelorette.
Wait, no, well, that's right. I mean, what are you asking? Because
why
do you think it's misogynist?
I consider myself a feminist, and I watch the show, and I laugh at the women, and I enjoy it. Does that not make me a feminist?
I mean, I think a lot of feminists watch The Bachelor. I think that's a little crazy. It's entertainment, and also it's not. You know, you could argue that the women have the choice, too. I mean, there are some girls who walk away. You have, like, Andy and Juan Pablo, and they say, this isn't for me. It's TV. You could say that the housewives are misogynist because they're all animals, and they're acting like children. Like, there's a lot of TV out there and movies that are, like, not great for women. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I don't think you can blame it. I wouldn't call The Bachelor misogynist. I have other problems with it, but it's not... You know, that's not it. Like, I didn't love Paradise, and I'm very open about it on the podcast. I've said a lot of things. No one cares, which is great. But I did not love this season. And I think we talked about it a little bit.
We did talk about it
when I did your radio show.
I have no... I don't love Bachelor in Paradise, yet I watch it. I cannot point to last season and say that I loved it more than this season. I mean, I saw the
really?
Bump. Yeah.
That's interesting to me. Yeah. It was two different worlds for me.
Really? How come?
I discussed it with a friend, and I know that, Julie, that you're not in the Bachelor world, which is healthy. And that's what exactly. That's why she has
healthy.
Beautiful skin. That's why she looks radiant. The baby's thriving. Like, you see what I'm saying? It's because she doesn't get
she doesn't
this
get polluted.
Garbage
exactly.
in her mind. No, last summer to me had stars. Like, just, it had great people to follow. And this summer, it felt like, I think Dave Holmes or someone said on Twitter, like, you're not allowed to be in on the joke. Like, it felt like they were trying too hard to be in on the joke. And then it made it for people who watch it and like to make fun of it. It made it kind of lame. It's like, no, like, keep it kind of serious. And then we'll be the ones to joke about it. Now, of course, there's always writing a line of humor on that show because some of the dates are always a little bit funny. You know, that's part of it. And the people who work on it are very funny, the producers. So they get it. But I think they got a little too funny. And that it ruined it for me.
I did like to see the destruction of Dean, though. I took some pleasure in that.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, actually.
It bothered me.
Really?
Isn't
how
that
come?
So funny? So let me just give some background. Yeah. Dean is a guy. Dean is a gorgeous guy.
Gorgeous, gorgeous guy.
He's to die for. Yeah. He looks like a 1955 movie star. I mean, that's his energy.
Tab
very
Hunter.
Old school. Exactly. And he entered the show. In my opinion, he was going to be the star of... Now, you know, they had this rape scandal called Barbara Corcoran from that rape scandal. Great. ABC's going to love me after this. So I didn't tell that story, for the record. And I love Barbara. Okay, we're back. But anyway, so Dean came in, thought he was going to be the star, and he fucked himself so badly. He acted in a very disgusting way. He treated two women like shit. And to me, they were stupid for wasting him. If they knew that he was going to do that, it would have made for a great Bachelor season.
Oh,
because
completely.
It would have stretched it out. It would have been classier. Because Paradise is in Mexico.
Class.
It's like on the beach. You know, Bachelor, actually, they go to, oh my God, all over the world. Tokyo, Switzerland.
They wear beautiful
gowns. Oh, gowns, tuxes. I mean, the show is, I mean, I love it. They made a mistake wasting him, I think, on Paradise.
Yeah. But I did enjoy watching his, like, he screwed himself. He deserved it.
Really, because I feel bad for him.
Oh, you do?
His father is a Sikh, a converted Sikh, whatever it is, who doesn't speak to anyone in the family and, like, just hammers gongs all day long. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but he was, like, a weird... I think he burned the house down for, like, insurance money. The guy's, like, not fully there. It's just a lot going on. Not because of the religion, just the guy himself is... There's something off about him, I think, when you meet him on the show. So I think Dean has been through a lot, Henry.
Fair. Julia's looking at us like we are garbage
people.
I'm sorry. I have to say,
and you know that I'm a lady and I would never do this. I'm a little distracted by my maternity pants.
Really?
They're not really working.
What do you mean? Are they cutting?
They're new. And I also, you know, it's been the summertime, so I've been mostly wearing dresses. And now I can't get comfortable. I'm in the phase where I'm going to undo the top
under.
Button.
Do it.
Don't worry.
We're among
don't
friends.
Even look.
We won't look.
Don't
it's
even
just,
look.
It's
we're
a little
sitting
bit,
in a tiny room. No one cares.
It's a little bit. They're a little tight.
It's so funny because I once bought maternity leggings at Target because I was like gaining a little weight. And they said, you know what? I'm going to go for it. And they were like nice and long and they were too big. And I have to say it did make me feel good, even though I wasn't pregnant. I was like, phew, maternity ain't tight, but they were very comfortable. They were like really loose up here.
Sometimes you like them a little tight because then it like holds the stomach up. But these are not working.
This top is adorable.
Thank you very much.
From a company called Nappy. We talked about it on the way here. It's okay. It's a really, you look great.
Thanks.
What is it like being pregnant? You wake up in the morning, what gets you out of bed?
I mean, it's a long time, and it changes, right?
Yeah.
So the way I feel now is different from the way I felt many months ago. Only very recently I've started to, like, have a really hard time getting comfortable sitting on the couch and, like, going to bed. But it's amazing. It's really amazing.
Is it great?
Yeah. And also when the baby starts moving and you can feel that, it's wild.
That would make me crazy.
There is a person growing inside of me. It's pretty remarkable.
It is a crazy thing that we take for granted, I think, because it's like when everyone hits the age where they're having babies, for me, it's like eye roll, no offense. It's like, oh, here
we go
again.
Like,
But really, it is like an actual crazy alien miracle.
Well, also,
and we should be like crying.
I know that it's like women do this all the time.
Yeah.
But for me, for the person, it's like it's the most incredible thing ever.
No, it's
and
like
I've been
heightened.
Really lucky.
Yeah.
But it's funny to walk around too. Now I look at adults and I imagine them as little babies. It's really,
really?
That's a fun game.
Everybody was a baby once.
You know, it's a great time to do that in winter because people get really pink and they have the hats and their eyes like get really tiny and everybody looks like a little baby in the winter.
Yeah.
Did you have any particular cravings?
And they also change. So it's when I had like a huge sweet tooth at one point. And then, it varies. And it changes every month.
All right. I have cravings also, Henry. You can ask me.
I wasn't joking. I wasn't joking about the Chobani yogurt. I've had a weird yogurt craving.
Really?
I'm not asking for a Chobani right now. I just...
So we walk in. We see, so the people listening get it. We see that there was like a Chobani tasting where we record the podcast and everyone like clicked their heels and it's the wrong day.
I know.
But Chobani, by the way, they once sent me because I used to, when I covered the Olympics for Vanity Fair, Chobani was a sponsor and every day I would like make a Chobani reference and they mailed me like... I got a case full of ice cold Chobani sent to my front door. I was like, this is fame. And it felt great. I loved it. So I'm sure they'll send you some Chobani. I'll tweet about it.
It's okay. I can.
You covered, oh, no, you're getting it. So
you covered the I just Olympics like for Vanity Fair? For
I did from my home. I like seeing it because people think I went to like Sochi or wherever the fuck it was. It wasn't the Russian one. But yeah, I did from my living room for 2 weeks.
What's your favorite event?
God, it's such a hard one. I mean... anything artsy, obviously. So, like, I love skiing. But I'm a winter gal for sure. I love diving. Ugh, synchronized diving. That's it. There's nothing more beautiful than that. That's, like, my miracle of life. Like, it just... What do you guys like?
Did we go to watch the Columbia diving competition sometimes? No, I went...
Never.
I went with Sean at one point, and he was heckling all the divers. But
was he?
Yes. But but did you ever go to, like, any... swim meets?
Can I tell you, you asked me and I was like, I know I haven't because I didn't even know that you could go to swim meets in school.
You missed out on a whole
pastime. I'm an idiot.
Pastime.
I know, but I never did athletic stuff when we went to college together.
No, but you just have to sit there and
I went to Barnard. But... Julie went to Columbia. I'm getting that out of the way because I did not get into Columbia and we can now all accept it. And Julie and I had a mutual best friend, Becca Lehrer, shout out, who hosts another amazing podcast called Mashup Americans. Give her a little plug. Mm-hmm. Have you done that show?
Well, I'm really white, so I don't think they want me on the show.
You know what? You're the problem. It actually just hit me.
I did do the 23andMe or Ancestry.com, whatever, and I'm like 50% Scandinavian, which I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
That's very white, and I don't think that they need more white people on that show.
It's Jack Nicholson's as white as it gets.
Mashup Americans is really a great show, but it's all about cultural heritage and diversity. And
I mean,
so,
I'm pretty white, but I went on and I talked about like being Hungarian and like Jewish.
Right.
You know, the Holocaust does make, it's a twist. The Holocaust is like, well, and the Holocaust. And everyone's like, oh, you can be on the podcast. But, yeah, no, it's a great show.
I did 23andMe, and I thought, when people meet me, one of the first questions that I always get is, what are you? Like, as if it's an appropriate question to ask. And so...
because you're Jewish.
I'm Jewish.
Right. Happy New Year, by the way.
Thank you. I've been told I look Italian or Greek or Latin or all that type of world. And so I was like, well, maybe I was left on the doorstep by a mailman and like...
or like Moses.
Or perhaps. That would have been exciting, too. It turns out, no, it's all Eastern European.
Really?
Let me get this right. My great-grandparents on my mom's side were first cousins, which means I'm a product of incest.
And first big.
I would be like 6 feet tall if that weren't the case.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Wow, I didn't even want to bring up the horn, but it's beautiful. Like, I like it.
I polish it all the time.
But you do tan, because I'm Eastern European, and I'm not a burner, but I'm a long tanner. I have to be out for like days to have any color. But you really do look Italian.
I tan pretty well.
Wow, you're very blessed.
I very much
am. Now, were your grandparents, I'm going to get dark, were you guys Holocaust survivors? You got lucky.
No, not very, very lucky.
From Big Brother to Holocaust, only here at Fresh Batch. Continue. I'm so
the sorry. Interesting twist on my family is that my dad was 22 years older than my mom, so I never knew my grandparents on my dad's side.
Oh, interesting. How did they meet your parents?
They met at the hospital where my dad was a doctor.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
What'd your mom do?
She was in the secretary pool.
Oh, that's like that's such a great love story. And did he like have her like take notes for
it's him? Very Mad Men.
It's beyond.
Yeah, they met in the late 60s.
I love that.
Yeah.
My mother actually worked in an advertising company here in New York in the late 60s called Chester Gore. And she was a secretary there. It was very Mad Men. I mean, really, she was a tall, gorgeous Israeli, came here. And she actually, her claim to fame is she beat Bette Midler to become, I don't remember the year, I want to say 1974 because she was pregnant with my brother, Miss Slivovitz. And Slivovitz is like a prune.
Oh, it's like a hard liquor.
Yeah.
Or it's a digestif, right?
It's like a prune brandy. I mean, like, can we all, it sounds delish. You say prune brandy to me, and I go, where and when? I need to know, because I could use it.
I thought you were going to end that sentence with beat Bette Midler, period. And I was like, that's dark.
With her fists. Yeah. And now she's in Hello Dolly. Forget Bernadette. No, but my mom had the whole sash, and yeah, apparently it was between her and Bette, and my mom won. And then I met Bette Midler after her MSG show, I don't know, 2 years ago with my friend Casey St. Ange, who wrote part of the show. And I said, Bette, you know, I don't want to be like that, but like my mom, you know, I didn't know, how do you say it? Like my mom beat you in a contest? Like it feels weird and braggy, even though
to us, it's like the best story because we love her, obviously. And she really didn't look at me, but it was still a blessing. I'm grateful for it. But yeah.
I'm grateful for prune brandy.
Should we have had some here?
Well, I can't have any, but I
a
used
to. A little
I,
for the baby. It's okay. A little bit. The French drink.
It's true.
I'm sure the Scandinavian strain.
I'm going to wait if I'm a little overdue, then I might do something. But I've had Slivovich before because they used to shoot a lot of movies in Prague. And whenever it was like freezing cold and we're working in the middle of the night, we'd have a little tipple.
A little nip.
Yeah.
Wait, so Julia, tell us about Riviera because I realize now that I let you plug your show, but then I didn't ask any questions about it, which was rude of me, and I'm sorry.
Can you insert this part in the beginning? Okay.
We can do that, right?
No, you don't have to. I'm backseat interviewing again. Oh, my God.
I know this, but that's why she went to Columbia and I went to Barnard because
I learned it from watching you.
Oh my God, and your drug use. Remember the ad? We don't do drugs. Okay, go on. Edit that out, actually. No, remember the commercial where when I learned it from watching you?
Yeah,
remember
I do.
That? Okay.
Riviera. So it's, I think you would love it, honestly. I'm not just saying that. It takes place in the south of France, like the world of very wealthy Europeans. Like,
I'm in.
Crazy wealth, okay. Yachts and big villas and all that. And I play the only American who was married to a billionaire, buying and selling art for him. They had an amazing art collection in their house. And the first episode, she comes back to the south of France after an auction to find out that he's dead. He's been killed in a yacht party that he was on. The yacht exploded.
Always. It's always those exploding
best
yachts.
Best way to go, though.
I agree.
The moral explosion. Of the story is don't.
How did he die? Remember that yacht explosion 2 years back? He was on it.
Don't hang out with Russians on yachts. But
that's a fact. I believe that. Yeah.
So
or in general,
her whole life is turned upside down. Let's backpedal.
Yeah, backpedaling. So anyway,
the whole show is the idea. Neil Jordan created it.
Oh my God, the crying game.
The crying
Neil Jordan.
It, yes, and so
he told
me that the inspiration behind it was behind every great fortune is a great crime. So she now discovers that not only was he lying to her in the marriage, he was forging the paintings, and there was a lot of fraud involved
in his
estate, which now she's implicated in and could end up in jail. There's the character of the ex-wife and the three grown children from another marriage. They're sort of forced to live in this giant villa together, and there's investigations going on.
Hijinks ensue.
And the family wants to get rid of her, but she's determined to stay there and find out the truth about her marriage and what happens.
It's very Madoff.
Very Madoff.
It is a little Madoff-y, yeah. Except Bernie Madoff being dead.
Everyone's dead in that family, basically. That's so sad. Edit that out. It's like the most depressing thing. That story is actually one of the wildest. I don't even think the movies could do the Madoffs justice as to how crazy that story was in real life. When you go to read about it, it's very depressing. It's fucked up. I will say that does sound very much up my alley. I love art. And do you have like a love interest in it? Like who plays?
Not yet. So
really?
Because the first season, a lot of it is her like dealing with shit. I mean, dealing with her grief and then also trying to stay out of prison. And then, you know, there's nobody in the show that she can trust, except she does have a friend who she knew from the art world.
That's nice.
But if we make a second season, maybe it'll
you
be.
Gotta.
She'll have to bounce
Once
back.
Once the baby pops out, girl, you're gonna be ready. God. Okay, I will tell you that.
Who are some of your co-stars?
Oh yeah.
So Lena Olin plays
the
ex-wife, and that's a really interesting relationship because the two women are like obviously catty with each other and kind of snarky because they shared a husband, but at the same time they have this weird like mutual respect because they're both strong women and.
Did you go party with Lena? Like, because you were staying in the Riviera while you were making it.
We were.
How long
were
you there? Like a year. I feel like every time I saw you, you were on a boat. It was just what?
I was there for a long time. It was like 7 or 8 months. It was
amazing.
Yeah. No, I joked that I wasn't part of like the Meridian Club, meaning the actress who played the grown children, Ewan Rion, who was from Game of Thrones, plays.
Oh yeah,
plays one of my stepsons. And
that's hot. That's a great.
So they would go out and party all the time. I was never invited to.
Really?
Because I was living in an apartment. They were living in a hotel, and they would come back and forth from London. And
can
I always
I
was
something?
Like, "Hey guys, can I be part of the Meridian Club? Just so you know, I'll go out with you." But it never happened.
Can I say something? I hope they listen to every word of this podcast. That hurts me. That you know what? I'm going to call Rian. I'm like,
Julie wants to go out, especially once you're a mom.
Yeah.
You're going to need like a night out. You have to have ugly French nanny. You know what Joan Rivers used to say? Do not get a hot nanny.
Oh, I will not have a hot nanny. You need just the universe reinforcing that idea by shutting the lights off.
Exactly. Because this is classic WeWork behavior. This shit is just, it's annoying. The lights turn off every 15 minutes, but yeah.
No, how don't
do
worry.
Feel, how do y'all feel about mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise. Or mayonnaise, whatever you prefer.
Interesting segue.
Oh, mayonnaise. I was like, who's Manny? Like Rivera?
Mayonnaise.
First, I was like, there's no way he said mayonnaise. So I was like, that's a curious way of saying mayonnaise. Because I fucking love mayonnaise. Like, I will put mayonnaise on a donut. I don't give a shit. It is the people who don't like mayonnaise, this is controversial. People who don't like mayonnaise, I think, are monsters. And does anyone
you literally just insulted me.
The two of you.
I love mayonnaise, but what? You don't like mayonnaise?
No.
Why?
I think people, did you ever get sick from it? I think sometimes people get food poisoning.
That's curious. That's why I don't eat like a lot of shellfish.
Yeah, that's the reason.
That's what you're going to say, but really it's like
really,
they're
monster.
Like creamy and people are like weirded out by the creaminess of it.
And the eggs, yeah.
Ugh, I love it.
No, I think it's great.
Put mayo on every fucking thing. I mean, it is, when I used to eat mayo sandwiches growing up and we weren't poor. I mean, we were-ish, but like we weren't like rich. We weren't in like the Riviera at the Meridian Club, but I would be like, a mayo sandwich can fucking do the trick sometimes, you guys. It's great. Julie's sister is one of the funniest of all time, also an actress.
Yes, Jane.
Jane is a crack-up.
She is. She's hilarious. Hysterical, and she's so sweet that you wouldn't expect it from her, but she's... I've been to so many, like, comedy shows with her where she... like, masturbation jokes or...
She loves it.
...eating people out jokes, and, like, and my parents are in the audience, too, and it's really... It makes the blood, like, drain out of my entire body, but she's pretty hilarious.
She whoops it up.
Yeah.
She loves it all. And her friends in Brooklyn are also two of the funniest. I mean, they're just... It's a really interesting group, and to me, it's better than any HBO show about Brooklyn. They're, like, really living it, and it's wonderful. But then you have a brother who I always forget you have a brother.
Yeah.
It's like a really funny thing. You have a brother. It's like in a sitcom, like on Mad Men, or what was the show where like one kid was never seen? Yeah, like John Hamm's son. Apparently he had a son. And like, that's how I feel about your brother. I'm like, your brother.
Yeah, yeah. He's good. He's good. He was working at restaurants this summer.
Oh,
and,
very
like,
Ava Philippi or whatever.
I mean, he's got
Reese's
the
daughter also
he's got that. The thing I think that a lot of 20-year-olds have where they like have a liberal arts education and don't know what to do with it, but he's living life. And
yeah,
I gotta say, I feel like living in the city, I know we did it, but living in the city in your 20s, it should be like the perfect time in life, because when you're in your 20s, like, the city is so fun.
Yeah,
but it's expensive it and is. It's really hard to pay rent here.
It was,
I was lucky obviously because I had started working more and could pay my rent easily, but
but does he have roommates?
Yeah,
well, you have
like
to.
10 roommates in Crown Heights or something. You know?
That's where everyone is now. Everyone's in Crown Heights. When I lived here, I was in Morningside. I had 3 roommates. One time, I came home and I walked in. I had luggage. I'd been in Miami or whatever, and I came in, and no lie, there were flames shooting out of a girl's room. She had lit her curtains on fire with a candle. Luckily, they burned up, and then it was done. Like, it didn't spread, but within, I want to say, a month, she was out. I was like, that's insane. So yeah, it was a fun time. I do miss that time, but I paid like $7.50 a month. Yeah. I had the best deal in town, and every time I was like, I'm going to move, I never did.
My first apartment was in Park Slope, which is now a gorgeous, gorgeous neighborhood, but it was on 10th Street and 7th Avenue, and you didn't go to 11th Street at that particular point in time. Yeah, it was sketchy afterwards. I had 2 roommates. One was a rodent, and then the other was my friend Adam.
Is the rodent single? I like rat faces. and Adam was, that's fun. Everyone, I'm moving now, by the way. I'm looking for a new apartment, which was like the bane of my existence. And everyone, this is like, it doesn't matter who I say it to. And frankly, I find it annoying. Everyone's like, man, to Brooklyn. Everyone is telling me to move to Brooklyn. And I'm like, listen, I know you're going to say it. Go say
No. I would like a little gold star, because in the car, I said to you, there's no way you'd move to Brooklyn, right? I already knew it wasn't a possibility.
But you know me. But people who have no fucking clue are like, man, to Brooklyn. And I'm sure Brooklyn is amazing. I go there. I visit, of course. I do stand up there. It's great. My problem is I like to walk everywhere, and I'm not going to walk over the Brooklyn Bridge at 2 a.m. And I love the feeling of like an empty city. The city has changed beyond, I admit. It's not what it used to be, but I just like to be able to walk. The train situation in Brooklyn is hard. I don't know. Maybe I'm annoying.
The train situation has been horrible. I have not taken a subway ride that has been uninterrupted like in months.
No, I agree. It's awful.
Yeah. I hear this, and I feel like I should stop taking the subways pretty soon. Like, I worry about getting stuck.
I'm telling you, that's a nightmare.
I will say, it's a fun social experiment, though, seeing if people will give their seat up to you. Because the answer is no, they won't.
Really?
I will say there was one gentleman.
Oh, my God.
There was one gentleman a few days ago who gave up his seat to me, and I don't know who you are, sir, but thank you very much.
But it's partially usually because the trains are so crowded that people actually can't see your belly, or they're just like have their heads down into
you
their
have
phones
to start
or whatever.
Lamazing. You gotta start like
huffing and puffing.
Like come in like.
But yeah. Other than that one guy, no.
What? Yeah. Can I be honest? That shocks me for two reasons. One is people look at you and they recognize you, and then if anything, they should then see.
Right.
I mean, if you're wearing a flowing thing, you're not like busting out. Like you're not. I've seen much bigger pregnant girls. Like right. You're not. Again, he thought it was burrito related.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just like he took up. Like, can you imagine if that was a beer gut? I would be. No one would be happier than me. I'm like, y'all. Julia has put on a big old gut. Because I love when like you see actresses who are like not, you know, it's like something happened and you're like, oh, tell me everything. Like, are you okay? But no, I'm happy. She's looking at me now like I'm the devil. I'm a good person. Go on.
That's not where I gain weight. Like if I got really fat, it would not be in my stomach. It would be in my face. So
is that the only place you put weight on? That can't be.
No. I mean, I have never seen you. But it wouldn't be like concentrated in my stomach.
But you're very healthy.
But you don't know that. Yeah. You don't know.
That's correct.
Yeah. So how would you know?
No, but the point is I'm surprised people I would go. I want you to know the only reason I want to get pregnant, other than obviously like having some to take care of me when I'm old, is to shame people for not getting up at the subway. I would be, because I do it anyways, basically. But if I'm sitting on a train, I actually can't enjoy it. Because I am so aware if, like, an old person gets on, I want to get up so badly for someone. And it makes me sound like such a great person. But it's more like, it's like a neurotic thing where I'm just like, I don't want to be the one who's, like, taking the seat. And if I see guys sitting when an elderly woman gets on and they don't get up, I fucking fume. That is like, that makes me, I'm getting stressed talking about it.
So wait, where do you think pregnant women fall in the hierarchy? There's, like, elderly, disabled.
Well, disabled
pregnant?
Obviously is first. Yeah. Someone gets on with a cane, anything like that, you got to get up. I mean, that's not even a question. My brother did say something funny once. He was in Austria years ago sitting on a bus and like some very old person came on and he refused to get up for them because he was like, they were probably a Nazi. And I actually sort of got it. I was like, that's fair. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
That means like the only funny thing he's ever said. I was like, that's amazing. I do like that. That being said, disabled. Elderly and pregnant, but it depends on the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because sometimes women come on and they're like literally busting, and I'm Jesus, I don't know. This world that we live in is so fucked up. I mean, it's just that's why. Are you afraid to be pregnant? I feel like I have friends, they have little babies, and I'm like, oh my god, the stress of like what's gonna happen or like where we are. It's just crazy. I like upset her. No, I don't want to.
Mary had a little.
I know. Don't see mother.
Did you watch 13 Reasons Why?
I had to stop.
Yeah, I did too. I got
three episodes in.
I got seven or eight episodes in. I'm like, God, is this how kids treat each other? It's horrifying. Like, I wouldn't make it through high school today.
But you know what? I agree, because of the internet.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we need to
end
the internet.
That is scary. Hashtag
end the internet. And so, I mean, that's going to be it. And this is it for us.
I have a question about the internet, or about Twitter in particular. Do you read your mentions and comments?
Real talk. I do now. When I was on The View, I had to stop for a little bit. But the truth is, I would read it. And then if anyone came at me, I would just mute them. I never block people because I think that's like feeding the animals. They get satisfaction out of being
they
blocked.
They know if they're getting blocked?
Yes. Yeah. Whereas if you mute them, the only thing about muting people, though, is that other people can see it. So it's not great. And like people could be harassing me right now and I have no idea. But I do. What about you guys? You're not big on Twitter, are you, Jules?
No, I like Instagram a lot.
Yeah.
And I will tweet, but I have like a love-hate relationship with it, and I find that I tend to start tweeting too politically, and then I'm like, shut up, Julia. Nobody wants to hear it, and you know, and also feel like, what's the point? But then I can't help myself because you want to like shout into the void.
Yes.
But I don't look at comments or because I've made the mistake of looking at ones that you can't like get out of your head.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's exhausting.
Yeah. What about you, Henry?
Michelle, I have the same strategy as you. Is I don't block people. I mute them because I feel like blocking them is giving them what they want. Yeah. And let's say once a day I get something like really mean.
Not really
about the job I'm doing, about the magazine or the job I'm doing, or hey, you screwed up on this or that. Like,
well,
think that person then is like really weirdly dedicated to you or to your life? Like, I think that I know you're supposed to. It's hard because that sounds really annoying, but it's like part of me wants you should take that as a little bit of flattery because it's like, why are they focusing so much attention on you?
I know, why are they focusing on me? I'm just like,
they want to bring you down. That's the thing. That's what everyone right now is about, bringing other people down. There's very little lifting.
And I think the internet and social media encourages that, which is very scary, and is very scary for our future generations.
Well, that's, you know, we're talking about 13 Reasons and like bullying. I mean, just even like, I was a bully child. I was 100 feet tall. You know what I mean? I had my own problems, but to deal with that on where you can't, I always say, where you can't escape it, like you go home and it's still happening, that's like a fucking nightmare.
Oh, it's horrifying. Yeah. That show in particular, the thing that I hope stretch credulity with that show, credulousness, I don't know, I can't say that word. That's,
you're going to get a lot of tweets about that. I'm just letting you know. I'm just feeling like, I'm like worried about you now. I'm like, Henry. I know. Oh, okay, go on.
She had all this stuff happen to her. Like, there was the bullying. There was, like, sexual assault. There was the fake being framed for being a lesbian. Like, does one person actually get bullied this much?
Well, probably not. It's a Netflix series. Yeah. But also, I mean, the show is incredibly successful. So apparently it's striking chords amongst teenagers. I know that it's, like, one of their most successful series.
Yeah,
so,
it has been.
Yeah.
And I found it really difficult to watch. And I mean, the acting was terrific and the performances were
wonderful. There was like some hot teens on it too. Sure. I was like, Googling ages. I was like, another year. It was like the Harry Potter countdown clock. Like, when is Daniel Radcliffe going to be 18? Meanwhile, he still looks like my newborn. I'm like, what is he, 38? I'm like, he's okay. Can we talk about Emmys? Because we have someone here who went. We should have talked about it earlier when you brought it up, and I apologize. But tell us everything.
I have to be perfectly honest. I was watching the Emmys from my couch. I flew back on Sunday, but I was watching, and I was there for some of the parties beforehand.
Right. And Entertainment Weekly had a big party.
And we had a big party, yes.
Thanks for the invite.
I did invite you.
You did, actually.
Don't invite
me. That's hysterical, because you absolutely did invite me. And I'm just feeling salty because I wanted to go to Hip Hop Honors because Martin Lawrence was being dedicated or whatever, honored and dedicated. And they were like, oh, we'll work on it. And then it never happened. And I realized afterwards it was in L.A. I couldn't have gone anyways. But I'm just in a salty place with the invites. But anyways, continue. That's real, what I just said.
Julia, what you said earlier was interesting to me about do I tweet politically because – does anyone care? And so on these award shows, what do you think of the celebrities in making their political statement? On the one hand, like, I think it's important to in this environment. On the other hand, is it really going to change anyone's mind?
I will say this. My mother hates it. She's always like, oh, I don't need to hear it. It's not the right place. I do think that people using their platform, the problem is anyone who's going to be convinced by it is already feeling that way. And the people who hate Hollywood or think it's like leftist media, liberal, whatever.
It just encourages
it. Yeah. So in a way, it's not doing much. But the truth is, I think people feel the need to say something because otherwise they feel helpless. But saying something is only doing so much. It's really not doing anything. I mean, unless you call your senators.
Mm-hmm. I got angry at the normalization of Sean Spicer. I'm like,
yeah. Thank you, because I was going to say, like, when he just appeared and everybody's jaw dropped, and I was like, but this isn't funny. He was actually in a position of incredible power, and like the Trump administration is still there. Like, us making jokes about it to make ourselves feel better is doing nothing, and it just kind of like deadens people to what's actually going on.
I think it's something that backfired.
It's nice to know, like the same thing with Twitter. It's kind of nice to know that, like, oh, I'm not alone in this feeling. But at the same time, it's exactly what you said. I think people sitting at home aren't going to unless they already agree that this is bananas.
Right.
They're going to be like, oh, look at those Hollywood elites. You know, it's so out of touch.
I will say it shows that he is a two-face because he's someone who put down the news and everything else and now is there. I agree they should not have brought him out. It's something I think they thought, this happened with something else and I'm forgetting, but iced coffee burp, excuse me, where they were going to bring, oh God, I wish I remembered. They brought another political person out and it was also, just edit this whole part out. The point is, I think that they just assumed everyone would make fun of him. And then weirdly, the backfire was, no, he's at the fucking Emmys and he's in a tux and he's like not making fun of himself, which is bullshit, which that's not how that should work.
He doesn't get to be in on the joke.
Yeah.
Like, he was
lying to everybody. Yeah, exactly. But I will say that, last year I would never have thought this was possible. But if you imagine, like, what's the alternative, the conservative Emmys or something, like if you imagine it like a Trump rally, that would be really horrifying. And that is a possibility. So it's kind of refreshing that at least, you know, there are people out there that, like me, feel like this is insane.
It also begs the question, something I've never said in my whole life, is it better or worse to make that divide wider, if that makes any sense? Because we, at this point, have two camps. We've got the Trump people who are like...
Well, like, say, I guess what I mean is, like, say that all the shows that were winning were not, like, The Handmaid's Tale. They were, like... the SEAL Team 7 shows, or like the super patriotic ones, or it was a bunch of
Nazi
dudes up there. Like,
Nazi
remember the Oscars? Nazi Doctor. Remember
it's a great show. It's a great show.
No irony whatsoever. Remember a few years ago when, what's his name, Seth MacFarlane hosted the Oscars, and it was like, I saw your tits.
Oh, right.
Like, that was offensive. And that, and if that,
that
became,
awful. Oh,
and if
God.
That became the norm, then we'd all be fucked. But, so it's kind of nice. I think the Emmys were kind of fun in that way, especially because Stephen Colbert was hosting it.
And we love him,
He's literally like my medicine now for this administration.
Yeah.
But the only thing that bugged me was the Sean Spicer thing. It's like, this is not funny. He was lying every single day to the media.
Well, they should have had just Melissa come out and do it.
Exactly.
And people would have gone apeshit and loved it. It would have gone viral.
Right.
Blah, 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 in the end. And maybe someone doing Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who every now and again, do I look like her? Don't answer me. I'm like, I look at pictures, I'm like, I don't not look like her. You don't think I look like her? Joe is shaking his head. That's so nice.
I don't
Joe,
think
God
you look
bless
like
you.
Her.
Oh, you guys are so nice. Joe, by the way, our producer who's here, is so sweet. He takes in foster dogs.
Oh.
Isn't that so nice?
And then you give them. You have to give them back?
My girlfriend.
His girlfriend. Bit of a brag.
It.
Bit of a brag.
Well, then you're a good boyfriend. Yeah.
Yo, he's so nice.
You.
Remember the one I met with the long nipples?
Yeah.
We talked about it on the show.
I want to hear about the long nippled dog.
Oh my God. So Alex, who's the other producer, goes, oh, Joe, we were going to meet up with you because he had to print a return label for me, if I'm not mistaken, anyways, and he was down the street. So he goes, yeah, let's go meet up with Joe. And he goes, but just so you know, he's with a rescue dog. And she has really long nipples because she, poor girl, I mean, it's really sad. She was like a pit bull who was like the, I like how we're all laughing and I said pit bull and Henry went, oh, like really like, oh, it's that sad. But she was like, you know, in a ring and whatever and was used as a sort of Madame Bovary. Does that make sense? She was the Madame Butterfly now of this group and had like a million kids from them, blah, blah, blah. This girl's nipples. And of course, you know, I watched Judge Judy. I won't get into it. I was bitten by a pit bull once. So I'm like a little bit of a trigger warning for me. But she was as sweet as sugar. But the bitch's nipples, I actually offered to pay for the boob job. I said, if we make...
Can we not talk about, like, swollen, drippy nipples?
Long nipples? Like, girl, yours is going
to
be dragging.
Really
I'm
would
sorry
like
to tell
you. I'm in my blissful ignorance. Can I just keep staying fantasy land,
Your
please?
Nipples are going to be sore. That is, to me, it's the... That's what happens. You're mad at me? No, listen, I was breastfed. I had Similac. And that's why I think I have, like, some Chinese poisons, which is what made me so big. But I will tell you that...
You totally nipple-shamed that dog.
I did. She really, and people would walk by and be like, oh, a dog, and then see the nipples and be like, ah! I mean, it was long. They were so long, Joe.
Can we get a visual like this?
How long were they? In all seriousness, they were this.
So,
that's
like,
real.
Like,
I'm only 6 inch long.
They touched the ground when she walked.
No.
But almost.
I'm a size queen, so I didn't mind it, but I will say that, like, they were very, very long. Poor thing. Do you have animals, Henry?
I do. I have Teddy, the rescue dog.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. You mentioned it. I'm an idiot.
He's the best.
I'm the worst interviewer. It's like this episode's been all over. I feel like, what's a show that we can all agree to watch? What are we excited about coming up? And we can end on, what time is it? We're good, I think. Time-wise. Yeah. What are things that we want to get out of our systems? What are we excited about this fall?
I am still a huge, huge, huge Scandal fan.
Are you?
I love a Shonda Rhimes show. Nothing makes me happier. Like, and the cast is so, I've had the pleasure of meeting the cast before. They're the nicest cast in the world. And they all achieved fame a little later and are so grateful for it and know that this is the pinnacle. So
that's why I keep waiting to be successful. I just want to wait until I'm really old so I can appreciate it. I want to achieve fame at like 73. I want to be like on the Titanic, be like it was 84 years and then I dropped out. Julia?
I'm really excited about this show called Riviera that's airing on the Sundance Now network.
I cannot wait to watch it.
I actually am excited.
You know I had to do that. I had to do that.
Of course.
Yes.
But also, I always get excited to like watch you work because there is, you know, it's fun. It's like I knew you before as an actress before we knew each other. And then I got to know you and we went on a road trip once. I mean, should we tell people? I nearly killed you.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I nearly killed Julia Stiles. Put this in
we
your headline
driving.
For EW.
You almost killed her cat, and now you almost killed Julia?
It's actually why she hasn't talked to me in like 2 years.
No, this was ages ago.
It was a
but
while.
I do remember that. Oh, my God. We drove down. We went to visit a friend in San Francisco and then drove down to L.A. Michelle did most of the driving.
But then when you did the driving, it was terrifying. We took the Pacific Coast Highway. All the way down. That's a deathly highway.
Very windy, like cliffs down into the ocean on the side. I remember I love you dearly, and this is not an insult, but I do have a vivid memory of being the passenger seat was more scary because you wanted to talk to me the whole time, which meant that you were looking at me and not looking at the road.
That did happen. I'm not offended by that. It's true. Because it was like, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm so annoying.
Like if you
so
could
we
see
didn't
it
shut up.
Just like driving with your head sideways. It's not
I remember
reassuring.
Being in the passenger seat with you. This is hysterical. This is like our 13 reasons why. It's like from The Wire, like from two perspectives. I was in the passenger seat, and, like, you were not...
I wasn't an experienced driver, no.
Yeah, I'm a Miami girl, so Miami people drive. I mean, we're, like, all maniacs. Julie, we were going... It was like Looney Tunes cliffs. It was, like, I mean, literally, like, 2 feet of space. We were in a Nissan, I remember, with a push-button ignition, which I'd never seen before. That's
Do
all
you
I
remember?
Got.
Oh, my God, we drove away from the rental car place, and we were like, what is this noise and that burning smell? And we couldn't figure it out. And it was, and then we called the rental place. Yeah. We'd gone like a half an hour driving this way, and then we called the rental place, and it was in sports shift, and we were in the wrong.
Yes, kind of a good memory.
We were in the wrong shift. Gear. Yeah,
no, we really. It was a death mission, but it was such a beautiful drive though, and we stopped in Big Sur. It's my only time ever really doing that in my 5 years of living in LA.
I'm dying to do that drive.
Well, don't do it with us because truly, it was like you peered over the edge of the window, and you would just see a drop. There's one other street in L.A., because if you go downtown, like in around Echo Park, it's very hilly. And there is one street in L.A. that when you drive up, I thought that my GPS was honestly, it was like American Horror Story. You cannot see the road. It's like a roller coaster where you don't know what's coming. And I threw my car in reverse. I was like, I don't know. I can't trust that if I go over it, there's road.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, it's that steep. Really scary. I feel sick even talking about it. This is a great time. But we've had some good times. But the point is that it is exciting to watch you work because it's like, that's my friend. It's like, there's Jules.
I feel the same way about you. No, seriously. Oh, I get so excited when I can brag to my friends about my hilarious friend, Michelle Collins.
Isn't that nice?
And I see you all over the place and I'm like, yay!
See, isn't that nice?
Well, I like watching both of you work.
That's why he's here, to pump us up. There. Will you write about Riviera, please?
Absolutely. See, absolutely.
Well, okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Come on. Cover girl.
I will say that
give him the first shot of the baby.
Negotiating.
He likes shoes feeding now.
I'm like, do it. He's so nice.
Oh, I'll ask you this. I know we're wrapping it up, but yeah, no, how do you guys feel about all that stuff, social media with the celebrities and their babies and like showing pictures of their babies? And
do you want advice?
Yes. We can give it to you.
I have, I'm at Entertainment Weekly, and Entertainment Weekly focuses more on careers and...
Yes, it's a classy.
And, yeah, not even as classy or not, but it more focuses on the work of celebrities rather than their personal lives. Mm-hmm. I did spend a year at People Magazine, and my boss there, Jess Cagle, who is an awesome guy, has said...
Great
that,
exercise.
He does something called the Cagle... He does an interview called the Cagle Exercise, as a matter of fact.
Wait, that's very funny.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, that's funny.
People Magazine
I'm doing
has a
them
policy.
Right now. I'm just kidding.
No, I'm all distracted.
It's all here at Fresh Batch. Go on. People we magazine. Got Julia Stiles cagling. This is what that line is.
Well, actually, totally. If you tweet that as like a clickbait thing, like Julia
would you get
Stiles
mad if
cagles?
I go Julia Stiles cagles on Fresh Batch?
I won't do it.
I might edit that out. Don't you dare! I'll kill you. Henry, take it. I'm sorry.
People Magazine has a policy where they won't run paparazzi pictures of celebrities and their babies. So, if you carry your baby on a red carpet, and then. You're taking the baby out in public. And
also, what a monster. But continue.
But no, but some people do, and in which case, they'll run that picture. Mm-hmm. Or if you're at a big event with your kid that you know that their camera's there. But otherwise, like, just the long lens paparazzi stuff, people won't do it.
That's great. And I think that's also discouraging the paparazzi because it means it's not, like, a lucrative thing for them.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I have an idea for you. Yeah. It just hit me. Like, you were talking about it, and I'm like... What I know about Julia is that you are incredibly healthy, the most beautiful skin. You are, like, organic. You're a natural girl. I think, okay, Chrissy Teigen style or Gwyneth style or, like, Jessica Alba, you need to write a book. Listen, this is a great idea. Like, a natural one, so you have your baby. A book about, like, natural motherhood.
Mm.
Recipes. Because your whole vibe to me is so cleansed. Like,
thank
everything
you.
I know about you is, I mean, look at her skin.
Yeah,
she's, like,
gorgeous.
I'm in a full Rihanna Fenty by Beauty, like whatever, Fenty Beauty mask. I'm like, do I look natural? I'm like a matte, like the fucking Skittles, man. I'm Jigsaw right now. The point is, you would kill at that. You would love it.
I think I would do that. Yeah, that's
it's a good idea.
Yeah,
I don't think you thought of that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll do it after the fact. Because,
no, after.
Yeah.
But, no, right now. No, but after, you know, you have the baby, but just even things like, you know, the breastfeeding, whatever else, because I do think people listen to celebrities mm-hmm. and people love you. And it's like really, I think it's a nice way to connect with people.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice idea. Yeah.
Right. And people love a book.
I completely agree.
Girl,
you need a brand. I'll help you run it. I'll lose some weight. Let's talk about it. I'll cleanse. I'll cleanse. It'll be great. Say nothing. All right. So Julie's going to write a book, and that's it. So we got everything done.
Yeah. Is there...
I think that's it. Wait, what if you just walked out without saying goodbye?
No.
Like, well, Julia left, so no. It's just us.
Nice.
As far as babies go, I think you should get that money, girl. Honestly, I would sell. I would. I want to have a kid. My opinion is get that check. So
you can help me come up with a title that has also a good hashtag. That
oh my God, I would love that. Oh my God, that's such a great idea. Okay, I'm excited for that. We'll do that. I'll save it for you. I won't like tell the listeners, okay. But. I would absolutely sell a picture of my child to people in a fucking second. Are you kidding me? Who cares? First of all, beautiful photos. They come in. Look at Tori Spelling. They even made her pretty. They come in. They do. No, they do. He can't laugh. They contour. They do everything you need. And let me tell you something. And then you can go to Target like she did this week, paparazzi photos, and spend $3,000.
Yeah.
So don't be above it. Don't be too good for a check. Because I'm learning the older I get that at this point I'm willing to... I hung out with the plus-size model Tess Holliday last night. You know her?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Very fun girl. And I really wanted to say to her, but I didn't, but maybe if she listens to this, she'll know. I wanted to be like, how do I market my body for cash? Like, I'm like, how... Because she is, like, the most successful plus-size girl. The bitch is minting money. And I'm like, how can I... I'm willing to let it all hang out. Let me tell you what I'm willing to do. Henry, this one's for you.
Okay.
Anything you need. Cellulite, ankles, whatever. Do it. I need it. I need it. I'm like, why all these girls? Look at Ashley Graham. I mean, they are minting cash. I need... So we'll talk about it after.
We'll talk about it.
If anyone listening has any ideas for me, tweet at me, at Mishcall. Is this sad? Has it gotten too dark for me? All right. Well, guys, that has been it. Let's end on that note. But I'm just saying, sell that baby picture.
I will not do that.
But I know you won't. Well, the thing is, there is no reality in which you would ever do that, which is why it makes me laugh that I'm like, do it. Because I know you never would. Because this girl is all class. And I'm speaking, of course, of our guest. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Julia
so
Stiles.
Fun.
I mean, hasn't changed a day. Literally.
Thank you so much.
To die.
You guys are the best.
Congratulations.
This has been really fun. It's been too long.
It has, and we're going to get lunch, so we'll catch up. And, I mean, there's, like, nothing. Well, I have a lot to tell you. And Henry Goldblatt.
Thank you so much for having
me. Oh,
my
God, thank you. And listen to your radio show. Plug your things.
Yeah, I do a radio show every Friday on Entertainment Weekly Radio. It's called Obsessed. It's just, I call him my protege, the guy I do it with, because he's
funny.
My little protege.
So cute.
We do a Pop Culture Week in Review. It's super fun.
Love it. And Riviera, Sundance Now.
Riviera, Sundance Now. You can watch it on Apple TV or Xbox, any streaming service if you look up Riviera.
And follow her on Instagram, Miss Julia Stiles.
Miss Julia Stiles.
Perhaps one day you will see what her child looks like. If you do that. Come up with the hashtag and we'll do it. And as for me, I'm Michelle Collins. This has been Fresh Batch. Thanks to my guests. And I don't know, tweet some ideas at me, some branding opportunities at me, because I'm interested. And we will... see you next week. Bye. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.